So it's Mother's Day. It's happy, sweet, beautiful, and it's tricky, as Chris so beautifully and powerfully expressed in that prayer. Well, friendship is very similar to Mother's Day. It's sweet, happy, beautiful, and it can be tricky. Last week, Tom Brady was roasted. The roast was tricky. It was a series of harsh, crude, hilarious, but biting jabs followed by effusive praise. One of those comedians was Nikki Glaser, who's Glaser, I think is how you pronounce it. I had to find something that was clean for what she said, but she is such a great comedian. Tom Brady, 5-time Super Bowl MVP, most career wins, most career touchdowns. You have 7 rings, well, 8, now that Gazelle gave hers back. The only thing dumber than saying yes to this roast was when you said, hey, babe, you should try jiu-jitsu. And she had an affair with the instructor. So there's that. Peyton Manning, another quarterback. My kids now excuse themselves to the bathroom by saying, I have to go take a Brady. That had to be my favorite line in the whole roast. It was 3 hours. I did not watch it all. So friendship is tricky. Friendship is a little bit like money. It's easier made than kept. In every era of my life, I've had a good friend. I've not had a lot of friends, but I've had a couple of friends in every era. I was born in Springfield. From birth to 5, when we moved, I had a good friend, but it was an imaginary friend that I called Timmy. I don't know why I had an imaginary friend, but we won't get into that. In Poplar Bluff, I had a good friend named Jeff Sean. Then we moved to Joplin, and I had 2 good friends, Grant Clowers and Tom Noland. And then we went to Little Rock, and I had a good friend who's still a very, very good friend, as is Grant, so to speak. My friend in Little Rock was Bubba Hagen. And then I became a pastor, and friendships became for me a bit tricky. In the pastorate, I honestly have had trouble making friends and being a friend and keeping friends. Maybe it goes back to this. Several of my college and seminary professors and some of my mentors told me, not exclusively, but the class, to never get very close to church members. Basically, they said, Philip, you can be their friend, but they really can't be your friend. Because you may say something in a sermon, you may make a decision as a leader that offends this friend, and they may leave the church. And if you're too close to them, when they leave, you've lost a friend, and it hurts too deeply. So it's just best to keep your distance from your church members. Build that wall. So I have lost friends when I've lost church members, and it's hard. And so I have struggled with having a wall around me. I do a pretty good job of pretending, but emotionally, I still keep that wall up oftentimes. I'm not proud of that, and at this stage of life, I don't know if I'll ever grow beyond that, but that's my personal struggle. And so today, in this series in which we're talking about Find Your People, talk a little bit about friendship today. And I've got to admit, I'm really not that great at the friend business. And of course, I appeal to Charles Schulz. The friendship of a boy and his dog is a beautiful thing, Charlie says to Snoopy. It touches me deeply to know that we mean more to each other than anything in the world. And you see Snoopy gazing at the supper dish, and Charlie says, I saw that. Sometimes I feel like Charlie Brown, and sometimes I feel like Snoopy. So I brought my little table ornament today. Friendship is for sharing, shows Snoopy and Woodstock. Charles Schulz had a hard time with friendship as well, and so many of his cartoons reflect that struggle that he had. So what is a friend? John chapter 15 is part of Jesus' last words to his disciples before his crucifixion. And last words are important. Groucho Marx's last words were, die. Why? That's the last thing I'll do. And Jesus' last words, part of which are about friendship. He writes and says this, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. So remain in my love. That word remain is in the King James Version, abide. And it kind of has the idea of be comfortable in. It's like putting on your favorite house shoes. You're just at home there. So just be at home in my love. When you obey my commandments, you are at home in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. And there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father has told me. I don't know what you hear from that. As you listen to that passage being read and you see it on the screen there, does anything jump out at you about friendship? Anything at all? Love? Yeah. Do my commands. What are those commands? To love each other. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm sensing from that as well, Dennis, that Jesus seems to imply that the heart of friendship is this thing called love. So Jesus is wanting to help his disciples understand what this greatest love looks like, and he doesn't use the metaphor of marriage or sex, but he uses the metaphor, the relationship of friendship. So for Jesus, it's almost like friendship and love are synonymous. They go hand in hand. So I want to just mention three ways that I think that this kind of love and a friendship express itself. First of all, it says, I care for you. And as Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, and they lay down their life for a friend. That's a special kind of care. So this kind of a care for a friend that Jesus is talking about is a lay it on the line type of a friend. I will die for you type of love. I'd take a bullet for you. Not in the head, but maybe in the leg. I'll take a bullet for you. I think it was Ryan Reynolds who said this, I'd walk through fire for my best friend. Well, not fire, that would be dangerous, but a super humid room, but not too humid because, you know, my hair. But love, it's sacrificial. You know you're a mom when you understand on the deepest levels why Mama Bear's porridge was too cold, because mom usually serves everybody else before she eats herself. Healthy moms are pretty good at this sacrifice type of a thing. So friends care for each other. One of my favorite parts of the CBS News is the Steve Hartman segment that plays every once in a while. And in this segment, they talk about a situation in a school. And I want you to notice how these students, these kids, rally around another student to show that they care for this student. Take a look.
We're going to end the week at a school where the students have an important lesson for us all. Here's Steve Hartman on the road.
Ready for cookies?
6-year-old Maury Belanger has a severe hearing impairment, but she's also very much a typical kid. Which is why.
High five.
When it came time for kindergarten, her parents, Shannon and Matt, were torn. Send her to a school for the deaf?
Yeah, eggs.
Or to the public school here in Dayton, Maine, which was close and convenient.
Okay.
Unfortunately, at the public school, there weren't any other kids like Maury, and support was minimal.
You always think of the bad things, like, you know, are they going to make fun of her or...
Her fitting in.
Thankfully, we made the right choice. Mm-hmm.
You can guess what they decided. Or can you? Believe it or not, this is Dayton Consolidated Elementary, the public school, where talking like Maury has become all the rage.
Can I practice a sign language?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Can
kids here at Dayton have learned multiple things of sign language, so like door, window, carrot, quiet,
funny, sad.
What's that? That's not a sign.
I like to do it.
I like to do it too, but it's not a sign.
Obviously, they're not fluent yet. But about a third of the kids here know enough to navigate a kindergarten conversation. Like when Maury didn't notice the line was moving. The girl in the pink told her to walk, followed by the universal sign for, way to go, Maury.
And it's not like the administration is mandating this. There is no sign language curriculum. This is bottom-up kindness. Students motivated by nothing more than their own deep desire to connect with this one little girl.
What they know, they learn mostly from posters, books, watching Maury's aide, and teaching each other.
They want to do as much as they can for her. We want her to feel comfortable and safe and be able to kind of make friends with her.
It's like if you got a gift basket. That's what she is, a little gift basket. Flowers and chocolate. Just a little bundle of joy.
Eventually, Maury's parents say their daughter may need more support services. But they believe all she needs now is what she has here. A loving community.
To know that people just accept her for how she is, she's just gonna succeed because of being at that school.
There are signs of that already. Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Dayton, Maine. Yeah.
That little girl feels cared for. They sacrificed, the other kids did, to do something out of their comfort zone to make her feel safe and at home. Let's go back to John 15. I no longer call you slaves, Jesus said, because the master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything that the Father has told me. Gary Gibbons, a friend of mine, is a volunteer at Dickerson Park Zoo, and he does that on a regular basis. And his favorite hangout is at the post where the giraffes come and people get to feed the giraffe. But on this particular occasion, he was at the general entrance gate, and he was saying hello to the people who came in, saying goodbye to the people who were leaving. And Gary does more than just take tickets. He is an ambassador for the zoo. He smiles, he engages in conversation, he encourages, and he listens. Well, this day was a special day. In the early part of June each year, Dickerson Park Zoo has what they call a dream night, where children with special needs can come, and they have the exclusive run of the entire zoo. And Gary was there that night. And Gary was off guard as he was at the general admission gate when he felt some arms around his legs. And Gary looked down, and he saw a little boy's young face and those eyes looking back up at him. And the little boy said to him, "Thank you." And Gary replied the gratitude by saying, "Well, thank you for coming." But the boy wasn't through. He went on and said this. He told Gary that he comes to the zoo at other times with some classmates. But he said, "It's hard because they make fun of me. And they leave me behind." But he said that he really enjoyed tonight because nobody made fun of him. And that he could go at his own pace. And then he thanked Gary again. And Gary said, "I was so caught off guard with his sincerity and his gratitude that even today, 10 years or so later, I get teary-eyed thinking of that young boy thanking me for the zoo. I'll never know for sure, but maybe I was the first zoo person he saw when coming in the gate that evening, so he wanted to thank me when all I was just a volunteer taking tickets. We never know how we'll impact the next person," Gary said. "Maybe more importantly, we never know how they may impact us." So thank you, Gary, and the other volunteers at the zoo, for making that little boy feel special. Maybe you've heard of the Friends of the Zoo. It's a group of people that financially support the zoo, but Gary is a friend at the zoo. And we all have our opportunities in the daily activities of life to be a friend to someone who's very, very special. So what I want us to do, think of today, is to think of those kids and those adults who are like Gary's friend at the zoo. Somebody that just needs a safe place. Somebody like 12-year-old Brody Ritter. It was toward the end of the school, and they had passed out the yearbooks, and as kids do at the end of school with yearbooks, they go around and have all their friends and some teachers sign them. But Brody came home from school with his yearbook with only four signatures, two from classmates and two from teachers, even though he had asked several. He had been rejected. And so Brody decided to sign his own yearbook with a note to himself. If you can read it, it says, "I hope you make some more friends." And he signed his own name. Well, Brody's mom, Cassandra, with this episode reached her breaking point. It was just the culmination of months and years of Brody being bullied at school in a little suburb outside of Denver. And so Cassandra, his mom, shared some thoughts on Facebook. And this is what she wrote. "My poor son, doesn't seem like it's getting any better. Two teachers and a total of two students," wrote in his yearbook, despite Brody asking all kinds of kids to sign it. So Brody took it upon himself to write to himself, "My heart." It's hard to see your kids treated in unkind ways. "My heart is shattered." So the lesson she wants us all to learn is to teach your kids kindness. Well, that Facebook post exploded, and support came in from kids, from parents, from teachers, from companies, and from celebrities like Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd sent a note and a helmet, Ant-Man helmet. And on the note he wrote, "Dear Brody, it was great talking to you the other day. It's important to remember that even when life is tough, that things get better. There are so many people that love you and think you're the coolest kid there is, me being one of them." Can't wait to see all the amazing things you're going to accomplish. Your pal, Paul. Can you think of anybody in your life, past or present, who would have loved to have had somebody say to them, your friend or your pal? Maybe it was you. Who would love to have had somebody say that to you? The world really does need friends. I think everybody longs to be loved, Mr. Rogers says, and longs to know that he or she is lovable. So what we saw through Gary at the zoo and what we saw in the school in which this little girl who had hearing issues experienced with the kids and friends who surrounded her by understanding. We see in our own KV, our own kids' venue, our goal is to provide a safe place where kids do feel loved and accepted. Let's go back to John 15:15. "Not only do I value you, I connect with you, I call you my friends, I call you my pal. You are my friends since I have told you everything the Father has told me." So I think a second characteristic of friendship is that I confide in you. People with deep and lasting friendships, no matter if you're introvert or extrovert, no matter if you're rich or poor, no matter if you are smart or not so smart, no matter if you're young or old, have this in common: openness. People who have friends share a sense of transparency where they allow people to see inside of their soul. Betty Ford, Gerald Ford's wife, when she became first lady, she set a reputation as being very candid in her remarks. When people, reporters, asked for her opinions on things, she was just transparent enough to give her opinion on things, on every topic that she was asked about. But one time a newsman went so far as to ask her how often she slept with her husband. And the First Lady said, "As often as I can." And later, she was transparent about her alcohol and drug addiction. And her transparency removed, in that generation, the shame from addictive behaviors. And go back to this text, the full text in John chapter 15, 9 through 15. And I want to draw your attention to verse 10. "When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commands and remain in his love." And verse 12, "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you." And verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command." And then I stopped here with 15, but if you go on in the text, he repeats that command. And that command is that you love one another. So it really is, I think, all about love. Jesus has one command in his mind when he's thinking about a relationship of friendship. And that command is to love. It's as simple, it's as deep, it's as meaningful as that. Norm MacDonald, a stand-up comedian, he was a part of SNL's cast for, I think, 5 years. And he was one of David Letterman's favorite guests. He appeared on there multiple times, and David Letterman one time said that if we could, we would have had Norm MacDonald on every week. Well, Norm MacDonald's last appearance on the Letterman show was right before Letterman went off the air. It was the anniversary of that 9-year event. Will be May 15, just coming up. So May 15, 2015. And after Norm MacDonald went through his comedy routine, he did something that was kind of unusual for a comedian. He got kind of serious and sentimental. And take a look at this last appearance of Norm MacDonald on the David Letterman show back in 2015.
"So anyways, I'd just like to say, I know that Mr. Letterman is not for the mawkish, and he has no truck for the sentimental, but if something is true, it is not sentimental, and I say in truth, I love you."
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Very funny, Norm, and thank you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Norm MacDonald, ladies and gentlemen.
That was very sweet, Norm.
Good night, everybody.
You got to love Norm MacDonald to love what he just did. Norm MacDonald died a couple of years ago of cancer. And he had been diagnosed with the cancer when this episode of the Letterman show was made. And I don't know if Norm is thinking about his own mortality, his own death, or the fact that David Letterman's show was about to go off the air in a few weeks, maybe a little bit of both. But Norm's last words to Letterman was, "I love you." As comedians, they were professional partners, but they were also friends. And I think what I hear Jesus saying to his disciples before he died is, you've got to see the importance of love in your relationships, and you've got to see the importance of expressing that love. You've got to make sure that the people that are in your life know that you love them. Love is like a bell. It's not a bell until you ring it, and love is not love until you express it in some way. And Jesus' last words before his crucifixion were about love. And MacDonald's last words, David Letterman, on this show, were all about love. Don't wait to tell people that you love them. I did a funeral Friday for a man who had gone into the hospital just a week before with pneumonia. He's in his 70s. And his family and the medical personnel all thought that he was going to be just fine, going to be released pretty soon. So his wife is in the room with him, and she was going to go home because he was doing just fine. And when she got up from her chair and kissed him on the forehead, and she said, "I love you," and she began to walk out the door, and her husband, they've been married 56 years, had never been very expressive in his words of affection. She couldn't really remember a time that he had told her that he loved her, except in the wedding days. But his words, he said to her as she walked out of the room, was, "I love you too. Thank you for taking such good care of me." And she's was stopped in her tracks, like, where is this coming from? And she dismissed it, went home, and about an hour later, the hospital called and said that he had died. So his last words to her were, "I love you." She and I met last week at McDonald's at the battlefield in 65, and her daughter was with her, and she told me that story, and she said, "I've always known that Joe loved me, but to hear those words told me two things. Number one, he really does, and number two, as I look back on it, I think he knew he was dying. Any one of those last words to be those. So it was hard to do that service Friday. Mother's Day. Denise. People that I love. Tell Mom that all the time, that I love her. Don't tell Denise enough that I love her. I still have a chance to make that up. Don't have that chance to make it up with Mom. I'm very fortunate to be in the work that I'm in, to face death like I do, and to remind me how important it is to live your life. So I learned from Jesus to build this culture of friendship. If I want to build that culture of friendship in my life, then I have to always live in this sense of love, to care for people and to confide in people, and to always, always have that spirit of love within me.